Welcome to Roy's, and the weather is beautiful and it's feeling really summery, and it just feels like it's good to be outside, doesn't it, and doing something energetic, something fun. And I wonder, when was the last time you did something really hard physically, possibly like a school, or maybe not a school, a cross-country running race? Can anyone remember what that was like? Anyone done a cross-country race recently? Yeah. Anyone outside of school? Now, is that because you can't remember that far back, or has the pain blocked the memory? How were you feeling towards the end of that race, guys? Towards the end, how are you feeling?
Happy.
Happy that you were nearly finished, or happy that you were like going to smoke it and win it? Happy that it's almost finished. Yeah. I bet. It's pretty good when you're getting to the end, isn't it? Good that you're nearly finished. Hey, well, we've been thinking about the fruit of the Spirit and how when we see these attributes or characteristics at work in the world, that we see God's activity, life. We see God's life and we see God's presence. We can't see God, but we can see kindness and we can see goodness and the likes. And these show us something of God's activity in the world. And these fruits, these attributes, are also what God grows in us. So when we act with faithfulness and with patience, we're actually being God-like. So today is also our first week of Advent, and our focus is on hope, and I'm going to be connecting the ideas of hope and patience together. And I've got three little parts to this little message, okay? The first one is about a trip I did with James and Lance. You both know them, James down there, and Lance, the youth mosaic leader. So after church 3 Sundays ago, I packed up my mountain bike and we flew to the South Island. We didn't fly on the bike, but we went in an aeroplane. The next morning, we started riding the Old Ghost Road. And there it is. Now, you might need to orientate yourself a little bit to that. Up here, give you a clue, is Nelson. Down here, Westport. Okay. Now, this is a tough technical ride with over 2,000 vertical meters of climbing. It's 85 kilometers long, and we were aiming to ride it in one day. Now, the first 18 kilometers, they were uphill, but they were great. The track was smooth, the gradient was kind, the legs were fresh, but it turned. It quickly got nasty. It got rocky, it got steep. It was a battle to choose a line to ride on the track and stick to, whilst needing to give a burst after burst of energy to get over that next little technical steep section of loose rocky stuff. All the while glancing up and seeing no end in sight after yet another corner gives way to more uphill slog. That sounds fun, doesn't it? Now, even though we weren't particularly far into the ride at that point, sort of about 18 kilometres, that point it was probably up to about 20-ish. It was hard. Now, eventually we made it to the top, near the top, where we stopped for lunch. Oh, so that's the profile of it. And we had lunch around about there, I think. Is that right, Jimmy? Yeah. Okay. And then we made it to the top for lunch. There we go. So that's photos courtesy of James. He takes great photos. And so we could just chill out with the Southern Alps and it was pretty amazing. So continuing on, we made it to the Ghost Lake Hut with a gnarly downhill followed by a long, slow, very hot uphill slog. And we had to stop by a big boulder to get some shade for a while and cool down. Now, at this stage, I had the unpleasant realization, or just before that, that we were only halfway. 40-odd kilometres to go. Eek! Ah, was this manageable? What sort of condition was I going to be in at the end? Would I just be suffering from now on, or would there be some enjoyment on this journey? And I think life is a lot like this for many people at the moment. Life is feeling a bit like a long uphill mountain bike slog, I keep on using that word, where we can only see a little way ahead and it's all grind. And when we do get to a corner with a little bit of hope of, oh, is this the end? And we peer around it, we just get more of the same. Uncertainty, fear, anger, conflict, violence, more uncertainty. And we can wonder, how long will this go on for? How long can I go on for? Do I have the energy and capacity to do what I need to do to get through? As I kept on turning my pedals over, eventually things changed. And there was some really good stuff happening. Oh, look at that. Thanks, James. And there were some fun, really fun downhill bits as well. And there were moments to pause and appreciate the beauty around me. These moments were well worth waiting for. There's Lance, and then me. Pretty cool, eh? Nice footage, mate. So there's good stuff in the midst of the hard stuff, eh? If we can look for it. So when it's tough, hang in there. And when we fall, get back up again.
Hit it.
James. You don't want to see it again? You can hear just the raucous laughter in the background, me and Lance, hey? That was great. So whether it's missing family from out of town or overseas, or whether it's a real strain on your marriage, or whether it's frustration at the lack of change in caring for our planet, or whether it's fear of getting really sick, or anxiety about life will be like in the future, or increasingly regular bouts of the blues, hang in there. Keep enduring. Keep peddling. Keep noticing the good stuff. Keep getting up after falling. And that's what people have done for a long time. In fact, as I start the second little part, imagine with me what it would have been like to have been born at the beginning of last century, 1900. When you are 13, a smallpox epidemic hits Aotearoa, a flu which developed into a rash, and 30% of people with the rash died. If you are Māori, you were required to present a certificate to confirm that you'd been vaccinated before you could travel by train. That was one of the public health measures introduced to contain the disease. And obviously very unjust. On your 14th birthday, World War I starts and ends on your 18th birthday. 22 million people die in that war. In New Zealand, it was compulsory for people to help with the war. 16,000 people died in our country. 41,000 people were wounded. A year after World War I ends, a Spanish flu epidemic hits the planet and runs until your 20th birthday. That's 50 million people die from it in those 2 years. 50 million. In Aotearoa, we had 500,000 cases and nearly 9,000 deaths. The Pākehā death rate was 5.8 per 1,000. The Māori death rate was nearly 50 per 1,000, or 5 out of every 100. Many public facilities and businesses closed. Public events and gatherings were postponed. The medical workforce already stretched due to the war. Volunteers filled the gaps, and whether in their own household or in their local community, people stepped up to help. Then on your 19th birthday, the Great Depression begins. 29th birthday. So you're only 29, all experienced all of this. Unemployment hits 12% of the workforce here in New Zealand in 1933. And those lucky enough to keep their jobs often found their wages slashed by up to by as much as 20%. Unemployment riots rocked Auckland and Wellington and Christchurch in 1932. If you had hens, anyone got hens here? We do. There apparently were rules that were made that you could only keep 2 eggs a day. The rest were taken by local authorities to distribute to other people. My freedoms. This Great Depression ran for 4 years until you were 33. When you're 39, World War II starts. And over the next 6 years, 75 million people die in the war. Nearly 10% of our population served in the war. Roughly 6 of us here would have been taken off to war. Nearly just under 12,000 Kiwis died. Then there was polio. Fevers, fatigue, nerve damage, paralysis and death. 1948 to 1949, 65 deaths in New Zealand. 1952 to 53, 80 deaths. 55 to 56, 79 deaths, which was the last major epidemic due to the vaccine. Anybody remember this? Yeah. Yeah.
Our parents and grandparents were terrified.
Yeah, yeah, I bet.
They ran to get us vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet there was a lot of fear, maybe similar to today, yeah. When you're 50, the Korean War starts. 33 Kiwis killed, 79 wounded, 1 taken prisoner, 5 million died worldwide. 55 years old, Vietnam War begins. That doesn't end for 20 years. 4 million people die in that conflict, 37 from New Zealand, while on active service, and 187 wounded. Then during the Cold War, you lived each day with the fear of nuclear annihilation. I've had to be educated on this a few years ago. On your 62nd birthday, you would have had the Cuban Missile Crisis, a tipping point in the Cold War. Life on our planet as we know it almost ended. And when you turn 75, the Vietnam War finally ends. Why have I shared all this heartbreaking information? Because people endured all these events. People lived through them. People kept on going, putting one foot in front of the other. They got creative. They adapted. They cared for others. They didn't claim personal rights, but they looked to the needs of the wider community. And they survived, and even at times they thrived. And so can we. Things often didn't get better straight away. Sometimes it took years. Patience was and is needed. Patience was and is needed. Waiting for something to help and bring change. We can wait. This information reminds us of the importance of patient endurance. And then lastly, again in history, but at a different time, there was a heap of struggle and uncertainty and frustration and heartache and pain which had led people to patiently endure and eagerly await. Not everybody got that right. There were riots and violent uprisings and false gospels being preached, and it wasn't even 2021. But the Jewish world was eagerly waiting for rescue, for a leader, for hope. They thought God's promised and anointed one, or special one, the Messiah, was going to fix the problems, smash the enemies, and save the day. Who wouldn't want that? But it turns out that's not what God wanted. Jesus himself patiently endured suffering, whilst also bringing hope that one day things will change. So why is there a patient waiting, a hopeful waiting in December each year. Why do we do this whole weird banner and candle lighting thing? You know, why do we have this Advent thing? Well, Jesus' birth points us to our God, who, like us, is vulnerable and weak. We're drawn to the God who is drawn to us. Jesus' birth and his very name signal that God is powerful to save. God rescues. God helps us be more like God. And like the people back then, we're reminded that we too are longing for change, for God to come afresh and to help our world, because we're in a bit of a mess. This is what the Apostle Paul is getting at in his letter to the Romans in Italy. Life is messy and hard. The whole creation gets this. It's like the whole of the earth is in pain, like in childbirth. But we hope in the midst of that. We hope in what is unseen, and we wait with patience. Not an inactive waiting, an active waiting. Patient endurance. Oh, I think we know where this is, don't we? Just down the road, Bailey Road. Commemorating stuff there. Romans chapter 8. We'll finish with this. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, the making new of all things. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Me and noi tato. Let's pray together. God, in this space, in this time, maybe we have particular things on our hearts, things that we are longing for, things that we are waiting for, things that we are struggling with, wrestling with, enduring. Maybe it is missing of family and friends that we cannot travel to and see. Maybe it is the state of a relationship or marriage. Maybe it is just a deep concern for the environment and the sense of hopelessness that accompanies that. Maybe it is fear of getting sick or worse. God, we bring what we are waiting for to you this morning. We bring our hopes, we bring our fears to you. And we thank you that Christmas, that Advent, this time of waiting and remembering, reminds us that you are with us in this, that there is an ultimate hope. And so would you help strengthen us with courage, with vision, with passion, like we have prayed this morning already. To be people who patiently endure, faithfully seeking goodness, acting with kindness. Amen.